increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. What is entering my heart is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
And that will be your testimony today again in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This word that's coming, we speak to you personally and specially in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, can you greet somebody on your left and your right? Greet them. Bless them, somebody. Not just greet. Not say, how are you? That's the question. A greeting is, it is well with you. A greeting is a blessing. All right. Now, we're going to continue looking at the thing we've been on for the last two sessions or so. And it's getting more interesting for me as a person. Nada Momo Yu is the title that we gave it. And like I was saying, it's been getting more interesting for me as a person to, you know, teach this series. And today I was just meditating, what do we bring out from that message today? And something came to my mind, and I feel that that's where God wants us to go in that direction today. And that's a follow-up to what we were discussing last time. If you were around last week, what I explained was that Paul taught us something. We read from that 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We did a bit of follow-up, and we saw something that Paul said. We saw it. That Paul explained that there is a commandment that I have. And, you know, you must understand that if you have a commandment and you fulfill that commandment, Paul said, really, there's no reward. Why? Because that was what you were created to do. Do you get my point? That is, there is no bonus if you work in your office and you do everything that you were commanded to do. That bonus will come, a bonus will come only when you have gone beyond that which was commanded. Do you get my point? And that's what Paul said to us last time. We saw what Paul was saying to us, we saw it last time. So Paul said that if I preach the gospel, there is no reward. There is no benefit, really. Why? Because that is when I come to point zero. I don't know whether I get my point. If I don't preach it, I'm on negative. Let me say that again. He said, when I preach the gospel, that's when I come to where? To which point? Point zero. If I don't preach it, I'm running on what? Negative. He said, now for me to go to the positive, not just the point zero, okay? What I now do, Paul was explaining, what I do is that I go beyond that point of just preaching. There are things that are my rights and my privileges for being a preacher. So I let go of those things so that the preaching can be more effective. Now we know that Paul plants, Apollos waters, it's God that gives the increase. So it's not my business really whether it produces or it does not produce. I can be faithful, listen to this, I can be faithful in scoring zero. That is, I do everything I'm supposed to do, and what I get is zero. Why? I preach all the messages I was supposed to preach. I do everything I was supposed to do. And basically, it's not as if I would be punished. When I say zero now, don't mean zero as in that you failed. What I mean is that I've just come to an equilibrium position. Just like 0 degrees in temperature. Let's take an example, 0 degrees centigrade. 0 degrees centigrade does not mean there's no heat in that thing. For those who know enough chemistry and physics, you know, for you to say there's no heat in it, it has to be minus 273 degrees centigrade, 0 Kelvin, in which there is no heat inside that thing at all. But when we say 0 degrees, it's the kind of measurement, all right? So the ice we have is 0 degrees, but it has heat in it. But you can go beyond that 0 degrees and get, you know, and get down to maybe 100 by putting more heat. So basically what Paul was saying to us is that I come to an equilibrium. We can also use that equilibrium position. Because the place where you are neither to the left, nor are you to the right. So you balance the thing, the fulcrum is there, you put your weight here, counterbalance everything, and the thing is just balanced. Paul now said, if I wanted to tilt to my advantage, I have to pack more weight on this side. So if I do everything that I've been commanded to do, I've just maintained what? Equilibrium. I'm on zero. So I'm not going to say zero as in nothing. I mean zero as in I'm just balanced. There is nothing special. When I get to heaven, there's nothing special about me. You say, okay, check him out. All right, he's okay. Good guy, clap for him. But nothing special. He said, when I want to make it special, what do? And I'll go beyond that for which I was commanded. And now going beyond that, somebody has to pay for it. When I say pay for it, is this, it's going to cost me my rights. Things that God said I should have. That's what it's going to do. Okay? So as a preacher, therefore, I have a right to demand payment, basically was saying, because the laborer is worthy of what? His wages.
He said, but I choose not to do that. He said, that is when I am doing something beyond that which was commanded. He said, I hope you are following that. I choose not to do that. I have a right to take one of the sisters, he said, as a wife. But I felt, no, I look at the work I have to do. That won't be fair on her. I'm going to be gone a lot of times. You understand? I cannot be an effective husband or a good father. Why would I put a woman through what I'm about to start going through? I let her go again. Now, each sin is a discomfort to me as an individual. Again, I choose that as a way of doing beyond that which was commanded. And there was something that Jesus said, except your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees. We saw it last time briefly, that the Pharisees' righteousness in that context, yes, you can talk about some of them were hypocrites, but people like Paul, they were not hypocrites. But it was a Pharisee. Do you understand? Yeah, but your righteousness had to surpass that. That is, these guys fulfilled everything that Moses commanded. And Jesus was saying, if you are going to be, in quotes now, let me use my own word, special in my eyes, your righteousness has to surpass that level. So it's not just what was commanded that you will do. You will do something beyond that which was commanded. Please, I hope you are following the point we have been making. That's what the point I'm trying to explain here. So as believers, I said something last time, okay? And that's the fact that, listen, I don't have the time for people who are trying to check how much can we do and not go to hell. That's not what we are dealing with here. You know, like somebody said, there was a time people would say, what shall we do to be saved? Now people are asking, what can we do and still be saved? Do you follow? People wanted to know, what shall we do to be saved? People are not asking, what can we do and still be saved? And now I made up my mind, I don't have time for such people. Argument on the Bible say we should drink or not drink, smoke or not smoke. It's only deacons that can have you must have only one wife or not. Do you follow? Because there are questions you ask, it shows where your heart is. Where your heart is pulling towards. You are moving in a particular direction, so we are trying to pull you back. And I have one of those graces. I don't pull people back. I let go of the rope. Fall if you want to fall. Not because it's bad to pull people back. I just don't have the time. That's why I even found out in the Bible, Paul didn't used to pray for people who did not show him a serious commitment to the gospel. You can read the Bible. If he did not show Paul a serious commitment as a church to the gospel, you are not in his prayers. He didn't have your time. Every other person, he first showed him some commitment. Then he starts praying for you that it will get better. Go and read every single one. He'll tell you, I heard of your faith, then I began to pray for you. What does that tell you? He said, those people, they are not serious at all. All they do is party every day, nothing. He checks. Are these people Christians? They're not Christians. Now shut them down. Let's pray for somebody else. That's my understanding of it. But go and read it. When I heard of your faith and they love you, that the same people is telling this, he can tell them later how crazy they have become. But at least he has a reason to show that their faith is serious. Then begins to pray for them. That I think might get deeper. That their love may abound more and more. But first, they have to show him some seriousness. So that's what I mean. When I see Christians who are looking for what to escape with, what to get away with, I kind of believe that you are not serious. Maybe somebody else has a grace to be pulling you back. Panky doesn't have it. I let you go. Now, I'm not saying everybody should be like me. I'm just saying that that's one thing I have discovered. It's just that, you see, I believe there's so much to do. Right now, you know what Jesus said? Since the days of John, the kingdom of God does what? Suffers violence. And the violent are taking it by force. Each one is pushing and pressing into it. I think we should be pushing and pressing. And my call in this season, we're coming to the close of the year, before this year ends, all right? That's what I want us to get to. Each one of us individually push and press, not into the average thing, but to become special as far as God is concerned. Praying just now, what do we teach today? A few things came to my mind. I remembered Samuel again. And I remembered Daniel. Those two people came to my mind again. I also remembered Moses, but Samuel and Daniel, I just want to give you their lives again and to challenge everybody. Let me say it to us again. We are not all equal before God. I hope you know that. Oh, we are not. We are not at all the same as far as God is concerned. Yes, it's a matter of fact that we're created equal. I know that. But when God looks at people, differ in his eyes. He says he sees all of us in Christ Jesus. That is true. But he wants to see how much of Jesus is in each person. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Each person will decide how much of Jesus is in him. Because Jesus made it clear. abide in me, if my words abide in you. So there's something you need to do to make sure that Jesus is inside you. Very important point. All right? It's very important we get that. So you see, we are not all equal. That's why I wrote that tract many years ago. Are we all equal before God? That each person decides how, in quote, equal he will be with God. That's just the thing. It's not as if he has created somebody to be uniquely different. Nobody was created special. But each person has an opportunity to drive himself, herself, to the place where, we'll talk about Samuel in a moment, to the place where you become like Samuel, to the place where you become like Daniel. And what am I saying about Samuel? Quickly, let's read that story again. And we're talking about that moment here. I was going to explain something. What we have to do as believers is to remove every single thing that looks like a hindrance. For time's sake, we will not read everything. But I just read something he said in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, let me just pick it up from verse 15. I'll rush from 15 to 19, because 19 is where I'm going. So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. And you know the vision we are speaking about, when God said things that he was going to do about the house of Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "What is the word which he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me." Then in verse 18, so Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, that's Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Now verse 19 is actually where I want. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. Please let me read that again. He said, thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of the words of Samuel fail. Now, it was not Samuel, now listen to this. It was not Samuel that did something so that his own words would not fail. What does the Bible tell us here? It was God that did not allow any of the words of Samuel to fail. Let's put it like this. The Lord took it upon himself to make sure that if Samuel says anything to you as the word of God, he will personally get up to defend it. That's what God did. That if Samuel utters something to you, now let me just, I sound a bit, you know, a bit extreme about it, but this is what I think. If Samuel says without even thinking about it, God will say, since Samuel has uttered, are you following my point? Since Samuel has uttered, sorry, it has to come to pass. So the man had to exercise self-discipline. When he saw the kind of regard God had for his words, that is Samuel's words. So if they're having a meeting, everybody's afraid, you see, meeting with Israel. The Philistines are gathering. He said, don't worry about it, nothing will happen. And then God will go and scatter the camp of the Philistines with thunder and stuff like that. Why? Because Samuel said, nothing will happen. Now, what we're talking about here is not just the power of the prophetic. It's why is a man so special that God goes out of his way to defend everything he says. Let's read the story of Daniel again. Daniel chapter 9. We'll read that also into chapter 10. But last, I just want to pick a few verses. Daniel chapter 9. From verse 20. And while I was speaking, now I want to look at Daniel now. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. He gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have come forth to give you insight with understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. We're not talking about the vision. We're not talking about Gabriel. What we want to talk about is the fact that Gabriel described Daniel as a man that was highly
esteemed. That's verse 23. Can I read it in the New Living Translation? It said, now I'm here to tell you what it is, for you are very precious to God. What we find here, my own version, which I love so much here, New American Standard, it says that you are highly esteemed. You are very precious to God. That's New Living Translation. Now, if you go down, the same thing in chapter 10, you find a few verses in chapter 10 in which he say the same thing. Just trying to bring out the issue of what Daniel was described like. And my preaching today actually is to let us know the conditions for which people are selected into those positions. If you read in verse 11, look at what it says. He said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem. Just want to bring out the words that was used to describe this man, Daniel. He said, O Daniel, man of high esteem. If you continue that, you'll see him describe him, Daniel, as such again in verse 19. Now, what I'm just bringing out is that notice how these people were described. Daniel, a man of high esteem. Samuel, a man who God took it upon himself to make sure that his words do not fall to the ground. You know, the question I ask Christians a lot of times is this: what really do you want in life? What do you want? It's a question you need to ask yourself. What do you really want in this life? Because where your deep desire is, that's what will determine the kind of choices you make. Where your deep desire is what will decide the kind of, you know, choices you make concerning your life, concerning where you want to live, concerning the things that you will do. What really do you want? It's a question I think we should all ask ourselves. You ask me, you know, I pray about that once in a while. If God says, what exactly do you want? There's one thing I like very much. 1 John chapter 1. Let's do that together again. 1 John chapter 1. I'll be honest with you. I don't want houses. Houses are good. Long life is not the most important thing to me. Seriously. And it's not just because I have read the Solomon. No. It's just experience. You may say you want to live long now. Do you know why? Because you are still young. Once they brought a man to my clinic where I was working in Ikeja many years ago. So, and at night, I was a night doctor there. So his children, they brought, so he came. Elderly man. So I talked to him, asked him a few questions. He said he doesn't know what the problem is. That it's his children that are worried, not him. As far as he was concerned, he was okay. So they were begging me to check the man. You know, how do you check a man that's not sick? The only problem he had was old age. Maybe they tried to wake him up for some time and he didn't wake up, I don't know. So they dragged him by force. By the time he came to the hospital, of course, he was very, very fine. So I saw a very reluctant patient. You know he was dragged down here. So he sat in the consulting room, so I was like, Daddy, what's the problem? He said, there's nothing. That doesn't know what the problem is with his children. That he, as far as he's concerned, he's okay. Now, let me add my own words. Didn't say so. That maybe you should go and examine them. So they were there, you know. And I think that young man was like, please, I should check him well. I was like, what do I check now? Check his heart is beating normally. Check his lungs. The thing is working well. I can't check his kidneys there. We can run a few tests. They think maybe he's having a stroke. How do you check a man that's having a stroke? Get up, walk, balance, do this. Let me check your eyes. Check you. Check everything. Muscle power here and there. What is wrong with the man? So I said, well, no problem. I forgot exactly what I did for them that time. They needed the treatment, not the man, actually. You know, there are times you give drugs to them, but the man will take it on their behalf so that everybody will be happy. So they now left, you know. It was sitting down there while I was getting some things done. Now, where I'm going is that the man was now telling me that he doesn't know what their problem is. That, okay, they don't want him to die. Why not? You know, like that. Yeah, that was a discussion that he told me his age. I can't remember but he wasn't young. Maybe in his 80s that time. I don't know whether I was up to 90. Okay? Then what is your problem? That should look at his children. You know? Like, these are his children. All of them grown. You're big people. You know? So that, why are they afraid? What if he dies? So that, look at the time they are dragging him out because they don't want him to die. The man was angry. You know what? He died, I think, the following month. I think out of anger. Okay, I shouldn't die. Okay, watch it, all of you. The man was just tired of, you know, like, wasn't tired of living. But there was nothing exciting about life. And he was healthy. It's not as if he was sick. He was healthy. But like, what is all of this? Then once I was watching TV,
another old man, very successful children he had. He sat down there and they were singing for, it was his birthday, you know, Newsline. How many people remember Newsline? Did they still do Newsline, sir? Yeah. But those days, it was Frank Olise. The days of Frank Olise, Newsline. So on TV, they were showing the man, so social event with his house. So people gathered, all of them very well dressed. The man was about, I think he was also elderly, somewhere around 90. I don't know whether he was over 90 or a little under 90. So he sat down and they were singing for him. Happy birthday to you. The old man was not moving. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. No, children, grandchildren, friends. They are saying, we wish you many happy returns of the day. Long life. When he got there, the man said, stop this. The man stopped the song there. This was on television. The man said, no, I should stop that one. What kind of long life? Ah, this one is not enough. The man just like, please stop this prayer. At that point in time, the man was elderly. A man like Simeon, he looked, and God kept him alive for a long time. He didn't find it funny. The day Jesus was born, he said, at last, Opeo, we thank the Lord. Why? This man didn't find, listen, the point I'm making is that there was nothing exciting. So this on the hand and he ran out, it's because he is still young. And let me drop this one for you. And the Lord has not given you visions of heaven. Yes, there's a lot to do on this earth. We should do what we are supposed to do. Personally, that's not what is driving me, long life. I plan to live long. I want to live long. Not because of any other thing that I've read the scriptures and I just look, let's demonstrate the faithfulness of God. But the thing that decides long life, or length of life, is the purpose of God. So you can't say you are living long, you are not fulfilling the purpose of God. God will not even agree with you. Quote the scripture from now to tomorrow, he won't let you do it. So ask them, what are you looking for? I ask them, Christians, what are you looking for? What do you really want to achieve in life? Oh, I want to be rich like Dangote. It's an assignment. Why should I want Dangote's job? Oh, being rich is not, I am rich. It's an assignment. If God has not given it to me, there's no reason that I will want it. And God is my witness. I'm not joking about that. So everybody has his own job. Why do I want to be like somebody else? A lot of us don't realize it. That some of these things we are admiring people, they are doing their own assignment. There are positions people occupy, I don't want to occupy them. Now, what I want to say is not a joke. If you come now and beg me today, between now and next year, and say, please, we want you to head maybe one major federal parastatal or become a state governor. Do you know, if you give me an option, I will not take it. I'm not trying to sound nice. I mean it in literal terms. I'm not joking. Why would I want to do it? You say, listen, let me tell you the reason why. Whatever job you give me now will take me away from the one I'm doing right now. So don't think I'm being humble. I'm not being humble. I'm being focused. That's all. And I don't see it as somebody's enjoying. No, they are just doing their job. Each person has his own assignment. So many of the things people pray about is confusion. They don't know, they have no direction in life. Absolutely no direction. I like what I do currently. And if you take me away from here for the next 8 years, at the end of 8 years, I wonder whether I can come back. You know, there's a way things can leave you behind. Yes. You leave some industries, you want to come back after 10 years. Boys have taken over. Oh, things have left you behind. You have to go and join the back of the queue again. So I like where I am on this queue currently. Don't come and displace me. I like it like this. What some people think is enjoyment, I don't consider it so. Let's understand it. Each person has his purpose. Each person has his purpose. I'm talking about what you're looking for in life. Bear it in mind. That's the question. That's what we should put somewhere. 1 John chapter 1, yes. So believers, if you ask me what I'm looking for in life right now, it's 1 John chapter 1. It said, what was from the beginning, which we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. He said, that is what we declare to you. Now, I just jumped a few verses. If you check, verse 2 is in parenthesis, okay? So, concerning the word of life, verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what am I bringing out from here? Is the fact that He said, that which we touched with our hands. I don't know why. I just love the King James expression there. You know what he said? He said, which our hands, what? Handled. I like it. It just has a very poetic sound. Now, he said, what is it there that you love? I'll tell you. I like the fact that John wanted to describe what they are preaching. He said, it's not just what we heard. It's what our hands handled. What do I want in life? That handling. That handling, personally. That's it. That handling of spiritual things. That handling of divine power. That handling of spiritually tangible things. I told the Lord once, say, dying is not my problem. I can die. That's, look, I'm not afraid. Just take care of everything that's my portion in life, my responsibility. The only thing is that I don't want surprise death. You're just going on the road. Just die. I can't tell people bye-bye. And I don't mean bye-bye as, you know, I'm very sick now. Between now and next week, I'll soon die. No. I mean that I have had a glimpse of where I'm going. And I'm eager to depart from here. That's the prayer I pray to the Lord. That is, we don't want to talk about heaven as a story that we read somewhere. Or somebody, no, I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, there are things you say. You know what I found about faith? Faith is a product of revelation. I don't know whether I get my point. If Jesus shows himself to you like he did to Paul, which argument are you now going to have concerning believing in him? I don't know whether you are getting my point here. Paul was there fighting, making a lot of noise until Jesus said, this guy's confusion. Let's settle it. He said, okay, so Paul, what's the fight about? Paul said, oh, you're really alive? That's what the point is. He believed. Did you see a player say, I hereby give my life to Christ? No. Once you see Jesus, you are giving your life to him. Do you get what I'm going to explain here? So when a man like Paul will tell you that, I don't know whether to depart or to stay, which one would be better? Say, I mean, it's straight. King James says betwixt two. Whether to depart or be with Christ, which is far better, or to stay behind there and have fruitful valley. Say, it's okay, I will stay behind because to help people. Now, those are not statements you make because you read it in the Bible. Those are statements made by men who have seen Christ, who have seen where Christ lives. You know those early days when Jesus came? John said to the disciples, behold, the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the whole world. So Peter and co. ran after him. He said, Master, where do you live? He said, come. The Bible said they came and they saw. I hope you're getting my point here. First thing they did was to go and ask Jesus, where do you live? They went to his house, saw where he lived. We'll come and visit. So they started visiting him periodically. I don't know. You never read that in your Bible? They started visiting him periodically. Don't think Peter saw him for the first time, you know, somewhere when he followed him. No. John first introduced him. They followed him and said, where do you stay? He said they should come. They saw his house. We'll be coming around. So periodically they'll go and visit him. And they would interact with him. And they felt his presence. I hope you're getting my point here. Then he called him after I came. Then he'll come to where they are walking. Peter, follow me. Peter will go with him, then go back to fishing. Until one day he showed Peter serious manifestation. He said, from now on, let's end this all of this going up and down. You'll be fishing for men. What am I going to say? When Paul told you and told us, I'm in a straight betwixt two. Let me put it like this. He has visited Jesus in his house too. He had. No, trust me, he had. So in spiritual thing, look, this earth for him was to be endured. When he spoke about groaning, that is, we want to be unclothed, not as if we want to be unclothed really, but want to be clothed with another body. He wasn't speaking theory. It wasn't something he read from Isaiah. Isaiah could have introduced it. But every day Paul spent on the earth, he was spending it because he knew there was work to do. He had become convinced and personally acquainted with life that was beyond here. That was what John was saying. So John said, listen, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we gazed upon, fixed our gaze upon, and our hands handled. He said, boys, that's what we are teaching to you. Do you follow what I'm saying here? So I ask, look, what are you looking for in life? Unfortunately, people easily get distracted by every other thing. You ask me, that is precisely what I'm looking for in life. You know what the Bible calls epignosis, a firm conviction, a personal relationship with God, so that Do you get what I'm saying? Samuel knew that if he said a word by mistake, it would happen. I've explained to us before that Daniel was not considered by the Jews as a prophet. And there's a reason for it. But what I want to bring out is the fact that what we have in our scriptures today, which you call the prophecies of Daniel, all those things were given to him on personal recognition. It was God's personal consolation to a man who had a desire to see the restoration of Jerusalem. So God gave it to him and said, Daniel, don't worry about it. Let me show you what's going to happen. Daniel saw everything that was going to happen into the age that we are in right now. So he died in peace. You see where I'm going with all of this talk? The Bible says that Enoch walked with God until he was not. Why? Because God took him. The person will say, what happened was that he and God went on a stroll. And they walked for such a long distance, they realized they were closer to the house of God than the house of Enoch. So God said, okay, Enoch, just stay with me. There's no point going back. Because Enoch walked with God. Please, I hope you are getting me. So I ask Christians, what are you really looking for in life? Many of us were still treating God as a way, you know, we serve him so he can give. But really, what we are looking for is what he gives. But serving him is the way by which we get it. That's why we give offerings of wickedness. Like offerings of wickedness. You know what's offering of wickedness? Okay, I will explain it. When you give so you can multiply, you're a criminal. That's what I call offerings of wickedness. You don't, love is not the foundation for your gift. It is that if I don't give it now, you won't multiply it. And this is, I make it a point to warn Christians to stop that nonsense. If after hearing me say it, you still go and give it, for every 1,000 you give, God will take 10,000 extra. So if it was your last 1,000, you are going into debt. You know that. Offerings of selfishness. That's why we do it. Because we think God is, you know, that's what we still have in that's our current magazine. He's not like other gods. We serve him so we can get something out of him. We still don't understand how to take pleasure in knowing him. Do you get my point? That is, that the knowledge of God, just to know him, that is, they give you a choice. Have a private jet at your disposal, $20 million to blow in the next 1 month. You have that choice. One whole month. So pilots can fly to anywhere in the world and you have $20 million to pay for everything. That's a choice. The other choice is to gaze at his face for 5 seconds. His presence. Choose one. That's what the Bible is talking about. That those who have understood God, they say, what are you talking about? To sit in his presence for 5 seconds, it's worth more than this one that you have offered me. Because that one is vain. There's nothing inside it. It's a question. Today I just said, let me ask it. What exactly do we want from life? You must understand that everything people are looking for in life. Listen, the truth is that in life, no matter what it is, what we are looking for is satisfaction. That's what life is. No, look, you're not looking for a house. You just want to be comfortable. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. If God can give you the kind of comfort, you understand my point? Inside that house, that you can, that you maybe, if you can give that kind of comfort inside a cell. What's a cell? Now, I don't mean police cell. Now, I mean just a small box. Tucked in one corner. It won't make any difference. Yes, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. It was that I want people to see that human pride, that this house is my own. If God can give you that satisfaction, just that feeling, you know, you're just walking on the road. Have you ever seen somebody who's not normal? I saw one guy one day, he passed by me. I looked at him, I said, this guy is not okay. I was a student when we were in school. And I saw him in one room later, and he was discussing the spiritual, how the seventh plane. I said, when I saw you on the corridor, I knew you were not okay. You know? I didn't tell him in my mind. I still remember the guy. The way he was walking, I said, no, this guy is high on something. I didn't know him. I had never met him. He just walked past me. I said, this guy is high on something. I didn't smoke it. He didn't inhale it. But it's something. Ah! I looked at him. Like an hour later, I met him in the room. He was speaking, talking about some esoteric stuff. So I asked him, what do you do? He said, I'm a follower of God. I said, how? He said, no, he's not a Christian. He's not a Muslim. He's a follower of God. In my mind. Now it is confirmed. You are not all right. Listen, that feeling that people get, that's what I'm going to talk about. You know, just this feeling high. And sometimes that's what people buy drugs for. Some people get their own from building houses, buying this, buying that. Some people, they are very rich. Every new car that comes out, they buy it. You wonder, where is it going? You see, that's your problem. He's not going anywhere. It is a buying that's the issue. It's a high feeling he gets. That's why don't feel like you're not rich, because many of the things people are doing with money, you don't need to do them. That's why God has not given you the money. Don't feel you're not rich. I'm telling you. The other day, my wife said, I should come and kiss. Kiss, yes, kiss. What people do? Why do you turn your head like you never heard of that before? I said, they will see us. They're like, huh? No, we're married for 20. You know, I told you, the day 20 years we hit, all of you are in trouble. If you greet me, I'll say, come. Where's your certificate? 2 years marriage. Go and stay behind there. I will harass everybody. That 20 years, Father, please, Lord. It's coming quickly. It's like, how many? It's not even up to 1 month. 2 weeks. No, it's a little more than 2 weeks. Nice. Now, you see where I'm going. So I looked at my left, looked to my right, made sure nobody was looking. I don't know why I was hiding. I don't know. I paid her father 200 naira for this thing. So. This guy is looking at me with longing in his face. Don't worry, the Lord shall do your own for you. Amen. So, now this is where I'm going. So I gave her a kiss, a sharp one, before anybody will come. Because it was a public place, you know. And I thought to myself, I said, now, wow. You know this thing there that just happened now? Some people, they will pay $1 million for it. That's where I'm going. Some people are chasing women up and down to get this kind of love. I don't know whether you get my point. You see them running up and down. That's what they are looking for. If you see me not running up and down, chasing women, it's not because I'm righteous alone. That's part of it. Righteousness is half. The balance half is that I am satisfied in Jesus. I am satisfied in Him. My faith in Him will never fail. I hope you're getting my point. It's satisfaction people are looking for. I told you Michael Jackson was paying $200,000 a month to a doctor to sleep. People go on drugs, it's satisfaction. Just 24 hours. Cocaine is expensive. I hope you know that. Yeah, I don't know the exact price, but I can imagine that the shot of cocaine to keep you high for 24 hours is over 20,000 naira. Who knows the price? I'm very, very serious. No, but it's expensive. It's expensive. It's a very expensive habit. Cocaine, heroin is worse. Let's not start talking about drugs now. Heroin is worse. Heroin will drive you mad if you don't get it. Cocaine is slightly different. Heroin will literally drive you crazy if you don't get a shot. And it takes 5 days to hook you. If you take heroin every day for 5 days, by the fifth day, you're an addict. Now, the point I'm making is that all of this is what? Satisfaction. That's what people are looking for. That's why they take drugs, that's why they chase women, that's why you see some people spending money like they've gone mad. And you're wondering what is wrong with him. Nothing is wrong with him more than the fact that he doesn't have that which you have already. And you think you are thinking that you are not blessed. I'm telling the truth. What am I going to explain here? So everything we are looking for in life, do you know, if you stood in God's presence for 5 seconds, it will enter your body. That's what I'm explaining. That is, if his presence, I'm just saying 5 seconds, just looking for a short time that will just be, it will just be like he's flashed away. 5 seconds, I'm just using that one. The best health care people are looking for, in his presence for a few seconds, to soak into your body. The glory. Listen, when Moses stayed with him for a while, Moses came back feeling normal. But people could not look at the face of Moses. That is, in his presence, your body soaks glory. You know why it was the face of Moses? Have you ever asked yourself, why is his face? It's the only part of him that was not closed. The whole body of Moses was radiating like that. But because he was dressed, they did not notice. I can assure you, his hands were showing it. His hands were showing it. But you know, when you are talking to somebody, his face you have to look at. So they found that to talk to Moses, you had to look down. You look up, there's a dazzle on his face, you had to look down. So they said, what do we do? To let you know the clothes could cover it, they now put a veil on his face. You come to see Moses, this is what he's looking like. You think he's hiding something, not hiding anything, he's saving you. What is the point? Just for sitting in the Lord's presence. I don't know whether you're getting my point. So if they ever give you an option between beholding the face of the Lord, sitting in his presence, and they give you something else, just disregard every other thing you have been given. As I'm asking Christians, what exactly do you want in life, really? That's my question this evening. Now back to the point we are bringing out. Now I ask myself, what exactly? Say, listen, in this life, there are prayers I pray. I say, God, really, personally, I don't need this thing. I can do without it. I said, but I just want to enjoy. Do you get what I'm saying? I just want to enjoy the fulfillment of your promise in my life. I just want to brag about it. There are things I can solve with 1,000 naira. I said, no, Lord, I don't want to solve with 1,000 naira. No, there was a day my wife said I should get her something. So I said, this is where they sell it. Your office is near there. Just send somebody down to the shop, 2 buildings away from yours. And just ask, I told her the name. I can even call the person that you are coming. She refused. After a long time, what is the problem? It's not money, because this thing cannot cost more than 1,500 naira. What is the problem now? She said, I want my husband to get it for me. Oh, I said, okay, I get the point. It's not expensive. She could walk down, but she just wanted to enjoy something. That my husband is taking care of me. That's all she just wanted to enjoy. Say, my husband is taking care of me. So sometimes when I'm praying, I say, Lord, listen, this matter, it's not as if money can fix this. But we have to show the fact that we are your children. And since the Bible says it, fulfill it according to your word. Personally, that for me is more important than $1 million. Please, I hope you are following me here. You see where I'm going in all of this I'm saying. So I looked at it. I said, listen, God looked at some people and said, this fellow is highly esteemed. He looked at Samuel. He said, anything he says will not fall to the ground. And we saw in the Bible, he said, you are specially loved. New Living Translation. He said, yes, you are very precious. Yes, that's what I'm looking for to God. And I've explained that it was God didn't close his eyes and tumbo and pick somebody. No. Personally, I like the testimony of Daniel. I like Daniel's testimony that he was concerned about something and he began to pray. And God looked in heaven and said, oh, Daniel is concerned about this matter. But it will not happen in his lifetime. What is really happening, what he's really praying for is not for this season. So he sends Gabriel. Anytime God sends Gabriel, just know the matter is important. That was the same person that he sent to who? Mary and Elizabeth. Can you remember them? That's John. Not John. What's the name of John's father? Elizabeth's husband. This man carries important messages. And that was the person God sent to go and meet Daniel. What does that tell you? Daniel was very special. So I asked myself, Lord, wait. Can somebody get to that point in this life? That's what I'm talking about. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate. We must understand the life of Jesus. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, that was a special miracle. When I say special miracle, now listen to this. If you study things like that, miracles, that is anointing and all of that, you will have learned that Jesus was born without any spiritual power. Yeah, that's the way it works. Okay? Then on the day of baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon him. That's why he did not work any miracle until that point. The Holy Spirit came upon him before God had blessed him. He had divine wisdom and all of that. But the working of miracles came into his life the day, he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came. After that, he started doing things like turning water to wine. Then he sees a sick person, puts a hand on the fellow, opens blind eyes. The lame will walk and all kinds of things. The dumb will hear, cast out demons. You start seeing all kinds of things. A young girl died. Shortly after she died, he arrived. He woke her up again. A young man died in the morning. By evening, they were going to bury. He woke him up. Then, now, listen to me. Of course, let's talk about a few other things. The woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment. And then she was made whole. And he was not aware. I mean, like, there was no discussion. The woman came, touched the hem of his garment. And power left him, went into her. That was the first time he realized that somebody was up to something. What am I trying to say? He had no personal contact. That is, it was not a conscious working of miracles on his part. It was just like the bone of Elisha raised somebody from the dead. That was the same way his cloth, you understand, the hem of his garment, got that woman healed. It was power in his body. The anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him. However, when it came to raising Lazarus, it was not like that. This is my conviction. He did not raise Lazarus with anointing. The coming of the Holy Spirit had next to nothing to do with the raising of Lazarus. You say, what's the special thing about it? I'll tell you. He raised Lazarus simply because the Father loved him. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The raising of Lazarus was a special request. Listen, when the woman with the issue of blood touched his garment, he didn't pray about it. There was a man that was lying down. Do you want to be made whole? It was not a prayer. Now, humanly speaking, he did not know the man. Humanly speaking, he did not care. In quote, humanly speaking, please follow me. He was just another sick person there. Now the Holy Spirit said to him, go and heal that man. And he went down and said, where is he? Him. Okay, do you want to be made whole? And the man said, yes. It's okay. Well, of course, they know the whole story. All right? The man said, okay, I had no man, all of that. He said, okay, get up, take up your bed and walk. And the spirit of faith entered. Now listen to this. The spirit of faith entered that man and set the man on his feet. And then the man took his bed and walked. Listen, Jesus didn't know the man before that day. The Holy Spirit just led him there. Jesus did not pray for him. The anointing of God upon him was leading him about. It was not only the woman with the issue of blood that touched his garment and was made whole. Many other people were touching him, and power, the Bible says, was leaving his body and healing them. He was not praying for them. In the case of Lazarus, it was a different matter. When it was time to heal Lazarus, what he did first of all was he talked to the Father. Of course, when he was preaching, they came and said, Lazarus is sick. He said, now, there are different ways to handle this. If I go now, I will use the same anointing for everybody else. But that's not what I want to use. You will see the way Lazarus will get up from the dead. Just watch it. So leave him, he's sleeping. So, 3 days passed, he didn't get there. The fourth day, he got there. He got to the grave of Lazarus. He turned to the Father. If you go and read your Bible, before that he was groaning. He was picking up spiritual energy. He got to the grave and said, Father, I thank you for what? Answer me. For what? For you have heard me. He said, indeed, you hear me always. But I'm only saying it, that the point I'm making here is this. He made a special request to the Father. And 4 days, Lazarus was dead. And the Father had to send Lazarus back to life. Not based on an anointing, but because a beloved son called the Father and requested for something. I don't know whether you're getting my point. We've talked about it in school of prayer. When it comes to prayer, it is not what you quote or how long you stayed praying. It is who is talking that's the first thing that's important to God. Many people lived and God loved, though they could not have raised Lazarus. The weight of their preciousness in God's eyes was not enough to get Lazarus back from wherever he was to this earth. Only Jesus could have done that. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. Hey, I pray I'm able to deliver what I have in my heart today. See, all of us can gather and be praying. We pray for Nigeria in the name of Jesus. Hey, there are people that they will wake up at night and the Lord will come and say, wait, I'm the one that woke you up. Say, Lord, what is the issue? Ask of me what you want me to do with the president. And say, Lord, what's going on? Look at this, look at this, look at that. What is your decision? They will say, clear away the bad men from around him, keep him alive, give him the strength to do that. God will say, okay, fine, it is done, because you asked. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Listen, there will be a road. Godly erosion has removed the whole thing. And one person will go there and look and say, Lord, this is not good. Then rain will start falling. It will pack sand from somewhere else, fill the gully, and the road will become level again. Why? Because somebody came, looked, and said, this is not good. I hope you are following my point. And let me tell you what God is doing. He's raising sons. Now, it doesn't have to be male. You don't get my point? When the Bible talks about sons, it's both, look, male and female. He's raising sons that he will scatter all over the earth. That one day they will hear of weather warning. That tsunami is heading this way. And the man will look at the work they are doing, look at everything. And God knows why he planted him there. And he will look and look up at heaven. Say, Lord, tsunami for what now? Says the sins of the people that have polluted the land up till now. And say, Lord, no, Lord, no tsunami. And he will turn and say, peace be still. People will think that there's no method. He looks at heaven and said, no. The iniquity of the people, I know it is great, but my petition before you is greater. No tsunami. And God knew he would do that. That was why he planted him there. Listen, you know the truth? We don't understand it. We think, I said it to us before, you think Jesus died to buy you a new car? No, he didn't do that. You think Jesus died to get you a wife and get you children? No. I'll tell you what the Bible says Jesus died for. Everybody, open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. What are you looking for in life? That's what I'm talking about. You know, you've heard me say it before. I say, I don't want to hear that somebody sinned and my death is considered temptation for another man. Do you hear what I said? Job was being tempted and his servants died. And they said Job was being tempted. I said, wait, are they not human beings? Are they chicken? As for the cows, I can understand. The goats, I can get. But the servants, Job was being tempted. All his sons, all his children died. And who was being tempted? Job. Ah, I said, which kind of life is that? So those boys, those girls don't have their own destiny? There's a day came that David sinned. God said he was going to punish them for the sin that David committed. You know how many died? 70,000. The man who did the sin, who they warned, didn't even get a pull. I didn't think it was funny, personally. David sinned. Even his right-hand men like Joab and co, begged him, oh God, let's not commit this thing. It's not right. He said, no, that's the way I want it. Go and number for me all these might, all the men of war. Ha. Joab said, no now. All the servants said, but they had to obey the commandment of the master. That is not only did they not participate, that is the other people in Israel. Even David's immediate men did not participate. They were not willing. And guess who died? The other people in Israel. And they said David was being punished. They even said, you know, oh God, this life is not fair. Look at what happened. They sent a message to David. Choose one of these three. Which one I will do to you? 3 years of famine. Why don't you give him ulcer for 3 years so that only he will not eat? 3 months in the hands of your enemy or 3 days in my hands. And David chose 3 days in the hand of God. And 70,000 people died. And they said David was being punished. I don't get it. I'm not questioning the justice of God, though. I even have an idea about why he did it. What I'm just preaching is that when I read all of this, since one day I knelt down, I said, God, dying is not what I'm complaining about. But when I want to die, let it be for my sin. Don't let me hear that Israel or Kemi did something that is wrong. The Banki died. Do you understand? I don't get it. No, really. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. I knelt down about it, though. So if you ever heard that any bad thing happened to me, in Jesus' name, nothing will happen. But just know I'm the one that committed. It's not that David sat somewhere, said one errand, and I'm in my house with my children. The one angel of death just close eye, the key people. And you forget the house of David. The reason is plenty. We just don't have time to go into it now. But my own message is that each person, please, you have to pray that prayer. Say, God, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying that, please, let me not be no cannon fodder for anybody. You know they call for cannon fodder? People that will take the bullet first. Say, please, let me not be. Let me be somebody who I know you personally. You can get angry with me. I have no problem with that. But let it be that it is me. That I'm important in this life. I'm not one of those collateral numbers used to count somebody else's blessing. That's why those people were suffered. That's why they suffered. They were not blessing themselves. They were hiding under the light of Job, the light of David. So when the light of David went out a bit, they went into darkness and they died. They vaporized. That has always been my own complaint about life. Let's continue reading. Hebrews chapter what? Chapter 2. I want to read from verse, let's just start from verse 9. He said, but we do see him. Something was before that, but for time's sake, we can't go back up there. He said, but we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Because of the suffering of death, we see him crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things. Read the next line. Read the next line. In bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Now, why did I read this? Notice what he said here. What was the aim of Jesus? Why did he die? Why did he go to the cross? Why? To bring many sons to glory. To bring many sons, all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. That is, God's plan is to bring men back. To bring you and I back to the position of glory where we really are deputizing for him on the earth. Do you get my point? That is what happens. Sometimes a Lazarus will fall sick and die. And God in heaven will say, what can we do about it? Say, there's nobody on the earth to bring Lazarus back. So bury him, cremate him, finish him. That's the end of Lazarus. Even though it was not the perfect will of God that Lazarus should die. So they'll say, why is Lazarus dead? Because there was no Jesus. Let's put it like this. There was no son with enough glory to call him back to life. So when you see decadence in the society where the church is established, God is saying, there are no sons to open their mouths to give me a reason to overturn that which is bad. Because every time the iniquity of people is always driving the world, the earth, in a negative direction. And what brings correction all the time is to have sons who have downloaded glory. Do you get my point? That they are walking a particular level of glory. Not everybody. One person will just stand up in his or her own area and just get on the knees and say, Father, no. He said, for the sins they have committed, this should happen. He said, Lord, you can go and shake the desert if you are looking forward to give earthquake. If you want to, where to send tsunami, send it somewhere else. But see this border from here to here? That is my territory. I can't allow tsunami here as long as I live. Listen to me, you never read about it in the newspapers. You'll hear a report of a weather something that moves to 30 kilometers off the coast of Nigeria. Then suddenly it turned and headed somewhere else, level 2 islands on its way, and then dissipated into the rest of the Atlantic. I don't hear anything again. What you will not know ever is that somebody stood there and said no. I hope you're getting my point. I'm telling you the way life is. So what God is doing every day is raising sons. He's raising sons. And what Satan is doing every day is making them prodigal. Read your Bible. That's how God looks at it. 2 sons. You choose the one you want to be. The son that stays in the house, doing the will of the Father, obeying all his commandments, and doing everything he knows to please the Father. He said, everything that I have belongs to you. That is, a time will come, you utter commandments, and that is the decree of the Almighty. I hope you're getting my point here. Go ahead, the story. When Elijah shut up the rain in Israel, God didn't tell him to do it. He just got angry. He said, it's enough. It's enough. You guys want to be serving false gods? I hereby close the heavens over your head. No rain, no dew, except by my word. 3 years everybody was suffering. They were looking for Elijah everywhere. When he was sure everybody had finished suffering well. Yeah, and God discussed. He came back and said, do you still want to serve fake gods? He showed them that the gods they were serving were fake. The point I'm making is that, listen, which word do I use now? He was God's deputy over that land. And my message today is that God is looking for deputies. He's raising men. He's raising women. He's raising people who will take the position as sons. And Satan said, no, let's make them prodigal. Let them, now, we're back to where we began from. Let them demand their inheritance. Let them spend their spiritual energy on living riotously. Let them think that life is all about what we can eat, what we can drink, and with what shall we clothe ourselves. Let them forget that the main thing that God is doing is bringing many sons to where? To glory. Why? Listen to me. So that he can, listen, God has broken life into geographical let me put it like this. He has put broken life into districts. Sometimes the district is geographical. Nigeria, Cameroon, Ghana, United States, South Africa, Namibia, Angola, Cambodia. Geographical. Sometimes these districts that he has broken is professional. Do you follow what I'm saying here? Or is industry. Education as industry. Entertainment as industry. Different industries. Ministry. Depending how you want to look on what how you want to look at it. There are some economic districts that God has created. And what he's saying each time is that I'm raising sons for each of those districts. If you see what the Lord did when he came back, he said, you will be in charge of 10 cities. There are people that literally will put them in charge of 10 districts. Some say, oh boy, you try. You can only handle two. But the point is that anytime he takes kingdoms, the kingdoms cannot really do well except he has people to put in charge of them. We began the series talking about neither mom or ye. You understand? I told you along the line that I had a quarrel with some of my classmates the other day. I said, what is wrong with you people? All you ever do is open your mouth and, you know, insult government. Once somebody is in power, you think it is your responsibility to cast him down every day. And you know what David said? Solomon said, anger lies where? We've explained the meaning of fools here before. Fools does not mean the guys who are just people are just moving, staggering knowledge. People are not ignorant, who are without knowledge, who don't have understanding. What am I going to say? When you see Christians talk like unbelievers, that's what the Bible is talking about. Anger lies in their bosom. They are foolish. They don't know anything. Because if they did, they will know the problem is not the people you can see. The problem is that God does not have sons enough to take position and make sure things are right. Did you hear what I said? Yes. You know what the Bible says? At the point in time, Jesus looked and said, the harvest is plentiful. But what? Let's put it the other way. The cities are plenty. These districts are plenty. But the sons are few. And the prodigal sons are excited, criticizing everybody in power, not knowing that people you see physically are not the ones really ruling. Did you hear what I said? The people you see physically are not the ones that are actually ruling. You hear of the Prince of Persia. You hear of the decrees of the watchers. And you ask yourself, who are those people? Who did they listen to? The watchers are not heaven, they are not human beings, we know. Or maybe they were human before, I don't know. Maybe there are certain human beings in the council of watchers. You know, God does things like that. God can set a council of watchers and say there are 10. 3 of you angels, 7 of you human. I'm not saying he does that, I'm just saying it's possible. Don't go and quote me that Pastor Banky said that there are 10 people in the council of watchers. But he does that, you don't know. But each person on that board has his own duty. I wanted to bear it in mind. Listen, I told you, I don't have time to preach for those who are looking for how to buy a new car and sew a new dress. There are enough preachers out there to make you happy. There are plenty. But I'm not one of them. I'm not saying their job is bad, it's just not my job. I don't think it's a good job, actually, because you should raise people to a higher level in life. Amen. But my own job, I've told you, is to let Christians know that serious things are going down. And God is seriously lacking. He lacks sons. He lacks sons. One man preached something once. He never left me that day. He said, go and read the story of the relationship between God and Samuel. You see what happened. God called Samuel and said, go and tell Saul something. King of Israel. What will do with the Amalekites? Remember the story? Did Saul do it? No. So what now happened? God came to the house of Samuel and said to Samuel, I feel bad that I made Saul king. I know what happened. Samuel did not sleep. And Samuel cried all night. And that was the day it struck me. The man said, can you see what is going on? That this man is feeling the burden of the Lord. That this is the reason why God treated him the way he treated him. God is feeling bad. Samuel is the one not sleeping. You know, God neither sleeps nor slumbers. So there's no way you affect. You don't know whether he's feeling happy or feeling sad in the matter of sleep. So he came to Samuel. His face was frowning. And Samuel said, Lord, what is going on? He said, I'm very, very unhappy. What happened? Saul, I made him king. He did not do what I said. And to God, disobedience is the worst of all sins. So what happened to Samuel? Samuel wanted to get up and start going. It was night. So he cried the whole night. He was by his flesh expressing the passions of the Lord. That's how united he was with God. That's why he could decree a thing and it would be established. Let me explain something to us here. When you see many scriptures in the Bible, okay, many of us, remember those when we were little Christians, wanted to just claim everything that is there. God said, these are positions for sons. You are but a child. After when I said, call something to be, it was biscuit you called to be. Listen, that was what we were doing. They said, by faith, you can declare. What were we declaring? It's food. You believe God for new shoes for the new semester. And you know what's happening? In heaven, they're laughing. And you see, they say, what is Valky doing there? He says, walking by faith. And the angels will burst into laughter. And God said, all of you stop laughing. He's but a child. He said, Lord, we understand. He will grow. He will grow. And I'm calling Christians again today. Grow. You know why? There are kingdoms to rule for him. You know, believers, you can't afford, like, listen, that's why, listen, stop listening to common commentaries. You have to have, listen, oh God, part of your assignment in life is to have good information. Yes. Before you comment on the closure of the borders, at least pray that God will help you understand why. And whether it is good or bad. I don't want to go into talking about, you know, physical, economic things now. But as a believer, you must have understanding. If God put you in that area, please know what is going on. God will give you access to government, you know, the center of governance. So as soon as you call somebody, what is going on? They will say, they will tell you. And is that what's really happening? Then you will go home and pray and meditate. And say, Lord, it looks like a good policy. Let it stand. Because the fact that government has pronounced a good policy does not mean it will stand. There are enough evil spirits around trying to kill it. I hope you're aware of it. All these spirits around the society, what do you think they are? Newspaper spirits? WhatsApp spirits? They are all evil spirits. That is why they all, can't you see, 99% of what we get said about government is negative. Am I lying? Am I the only one living in this country? Those things are not innocent. The other day, I had a serious fight with my classmates. I told you about it. Then I was telling my wife, I said, I think what really affected me was not the comment they passed. It wasn't the comment. Because the way I reacted, they were telling me, Banky, cool down now. Cool down. Take a chill pill. My first time of hearing that. I said, take a chill pill. So I told the man, I said, look, I don't need a chill pill. Because they're all doctors. I said, I don't need a chill pill. I think I need adrenaline. He said, you're overreacting. I said, I'm not overreacting. You people are being satanic. They said, satanic. I said, yes. Later, I told my wife, I think my reaction, no, don't worry, it was not too much. I'm happy I did it. I have no regrets. But I said, what stimulated my reaction? I realized later, it was not because of what they said. It was who said it. And the person was a believer. I think that was what hit me. How can you, a believer, be the one talking about the government like this? I think that was what pained me. It wasn't what they said as much as who started it. Immediately, of course, I dropped a lot of spiritual lessons. I told my wife, I know my whole talk was that directed at that Christian. But lest it appear like a personal attack, I just made it look like a general instruction for everybody. But he was the one I was talking to. I was saying to him, are you sure you pray for these people? I said, obviously we don't pray for them. Because how can you be praying for somebody to succeed and you'll be uttering such words about him? I said, why do we fill the atmosphere with negative spirits? Don't you know that our spirits count? I said, how can a leader succeed if everybody is supposed to be leading is exuding, you know, releasing negative vibes in his direction every day? I said, don't you guys understand? And then I told my wife, I don't think I was talking to anybody. I said, to everybody. I think I was talking to one person. Which was the reason why I was so angry. Because the problem God has is that there are no sons. There are very few. He said, they know not. Neither do they understand. So they walk on in darkness. Listen to this. And all the foundations of the earth are out of course under their feet. He said, I said, ye are gods. And all of you are sons of the Most High. He said, nevertheless, you will die like common princes. That's what the problem is. If God were to open our eyes to see the way he's passing judgment on things happening around us, you'll be amazed who is holding responsible. What is God looking for? Sons. He says he's bringing what? Many sons to glory. They are not born with glory. That's why I explained the Lord Jesus to you. That when Jesus, when God said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased," it was not because he was born pleasing God. It was God that God was saying, "I have tested him. First, I have taught him. I have instructed him. I have shown him things. And I have tested him. And in all my exams, he's gotten 100%. That's a summary of what he said. When he said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." He wasn't saying, "This is my son, I sent down from heaven." He said, "This is my son, who I tested, who I proved." For that phase, it was okay. Then the next phase came again. And then he went to the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Now I'm telling you, listen to him. At that time, God gave him all the authority. Anything you say is my word. This glory we are talking about, people walk into them with experience. It's not just I read my Bible. Now, we're back to where we began from. We are tested. We are proven. God will say, "Paul, come." Paul will say, "Good, I'm ready for ministry. Take the anointing, go and preach." He'll be there preaching and preaching and preaching. And God will say, "He's a good man. Very faithful in preaching." So he's now one of the sons to carry the glory. He said, "No, he's still preaching for money." So, but the money is his entitlement. He said, "Yes." But remember what John said. Jesus said, John and his brother came to him, James and John. "Grant that we will sit where? On your left and your right." Now, let's leave that. I don't want to talk about it in detail. So I want to bring it out to your attention. So God will say, "He's a faithful man. So we'll put him on your left and on your right." God said, No. He doesn't merit it. He's good. His ministry will do well. But we cannot put him on the left or on the right." He said, "Go and check it. He has claimed everything that is his right." Because, back to Jesus now. What did he say to them? He said, "Are you able to drink the cup I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism I'm about to be baptized? That is, are you ready to be stripped of everything that's legitimately yours?" He said, "That is the person that can sit on my left. That's the kind of person that can sit on my right." He said, "Until you are ready for that, you can't sit there." I don't know whether you are following my point here. You know, there's one story I like in the Bible. Go and read 1 Chronicles, I think chapter 11, chapter 10 into 11. Okay? They will talk about the mighty men of David. They'll say, "This man had a great name, but did not ascend to the tree." I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let's read it. I like the way the Bible. Let's open there. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Are you there? We'll read the number of it. Verse 10. "Now these are the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who gave him strong support in his kingdom, together with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. These constitute the list of the mighty men whom David had: Jeshobeam, the son of a Hakmoth knight, the chief of the 30. He lifted up his spear against 300 whom he killed at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighty men." Now notice that. "He was with David at Pas Damim when the Philistines were gathered together there to battle. And there was a plot of ground full of barley. And the people fled before the Philistines. They took their stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck down the Philistines. And the Lord saved them by a great victory." For time's sake, I will not read all of it, okay? "Now, three of the chief mighty men went down to the rock to David." These three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, while the army of the Philistines were camping in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, while the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. David had a craving and said, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water. Remember, there's a garrison that was there. Remember that. The three broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me before the Lord that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives For at the risk of their lives, they brought it. Therefore, he will not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. As for Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was chief of the 30. We started with the 30, remember that. And he swung his spear. He told them great mighty things he did. Against 300 and killed them. And he had a name as well as the 30. Of the three in the second rank, he was the most honored and became their commander. However, he did not attain to the first three. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, mighty indeed, struck down the two sons of Ariel of Moab. He also went down and killed a lion inside a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits tall. Now in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. But he went down to him with a club and snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the sons of Jehoiada, did and had the name as well as the 30. Behold, he was honored amongst the 30, but he did not attain to the three. And David appointed him over his guard. Let me stop reading here. I said something to us last time. Listen, that when people are doing Olympic race, 100 meters final, I read the analysis. Say all those men are the fastest runners in the world. That the difference between one man and the next is so tiny. So why will one man win and another one lose? It's little things like what he ate yesterday. Little things like the state of his mind. Little things like, listen, if his father died the day before, you don't tell him. You don't want to disturb his mind. His mental composure, the cloth he's wearing, everything is put together for him to gain 0.01 second over his compatriot. Paul says, run in such a manner as if you are in a final race like that, and every little hindrance is preventing you from reaching the top three. Do you get the top three I'm talking about here? That yes, many of us do very well in ministry. We do well in life. We do very well. God said, like I was saying, they will say about Paul, he did very well, but not amount to the top three. He cannot sit on the left or can't sit on the right. What am I saying? I'm launching a call again on God's behalf. Who are the sons that will keep in the position of glory, that will be able to speak on behalf of the Father? I hope you're getting my point. How do we get to such positions? That's the point I'm making. He said, we strip ourselves of every defilement, any sin that does easily beset us. That's number one. Number two, we run our race with what? Endurance. You know what's endurance? We are able to take difficulty. We stop whining. You know, I started this series by saying what? Neither momo ye. There are certain things that we don't hear. They don't hear from our mouth. No, power is not constant. One man spoke to me today, told me the harassment that his boss harasses him. So I said, what are you planning to do? He said, he was thinking, he said, he has even written resignation. I said, because your boss is harassing you. I said, so why did they not switch you? Do you get my point? He works in a big company and he drives a very big, a high-ranking person. I said, you have many people on your left. Why didn't they move you? He said, no. The boss insists that I should be the one to drive. I said, can't you see? I don't know how you're getting my point. I said, the fellow likes your work. As for the harassment, take it. The Lord will deliver you one day. That's the only prayer I pray, though. You know, some maybe expect him to pray. In the name of Jesus. I said, bros, go back to work. That's all I told him. They're harassing your soul. And the person is not sacking you. He's harassing your soul. He could easily change you. And the fellow refuses. I said, can't you read between the lines? There's confidence in your skill and your ability. As far as the harassment is the will of God. I said, bros, it's well with you. The Lord is with you. I bless him and I go back to work. If I hear say you resign, eh? What is it? We like to whine and murmur. 20 years, Jacob was in the house of, if I told him the story, I said, 20 years, Jacob was in the house of Laban. He was harassed. So bros, harassment is your portion for now. Just go back to work. Go and enjoy your harassment. The Bible says, endure hardness. I like King James English sometimes. Hardship looks like it's a sheep. You know, endure. It says, endure hardness as a true soldier of Christ. People are whining and complaining. They don't understand that God is stepping them down from the place of authority. With every time they open their mouth and murmur, God says, come down. They open again, come down, another step. They went, go down. This country said, go down. Finally, they need 1 million of his type to operate for God to move 1 inch. But there are people that with thanksgiving and gratitude, they are operating every day. There's problem all around, but they've learned to endure hardship. Such people, they get on their knees. Say, "Our Father who art in heaven," because everybody stop. No demonic activity, no angelic activity. I want to hear clearly. So who's praying? Say, "That's my Daniel." After a while, the angels will recognize. And there are things you notice. They are not talking to you, but just know Daniel is praying. The angels are going somewhere. They just wait. Say, "Why?" Look towards his throne. What's going on? Daniel is praying. If we could recognize such people, we'll go and meet them and say, "Please, bros, when next you talk to God, can you just tell him?" And listen, some people go, it's not God to pastor. Are you getting my point? It's not pastors that have it. There are many pastors that God doesn't listen to. Yes? No special. They have the anointing to preach. Listen, you know, I always like to drop things for people. Anointing to preach and wait with God are two different things. Did you hear what I said? Anointing to preach and wait with God are two different things. I always tell young women, the pastor is chasing you, stop going to his church first. Single pastor, you know, wants to marry a single girl. Don't marry him. He said, "Pastor, thank you, but you marry somebody. I know what I'm telling you." Because anointed men are very deceptive. They are not lying, no. It is you that misjudges the anointing. When he stands like that and he's preaching, "Keep quiet, all the Bible says that." He may be a crook. You see, all that no one is doing. I know what I'm telling you. Tomorrow, anoint him, he will slap you. He won't buy you anything. Just be unkind to you. And you're looking like you can't reconcile it between when he mounts the pulpit like this, glory. That's what they call anointing. When it comes down, the anointing stays behind. And the real man starts manifesting to you. So that's why I counsel young ladies. You are going to a church where the pastor is single and he now says that the Lord is speaking to you and say, "I'm coming." Go to the other church at the other end of the city. Let him be calling you. Stop singing when he's preaching so that I can't confuse you. Meet him in normal place, you know, market. Escort me to Obeti. Let's go and buy something where there's no preaching to do. Because once he says, you want to confuse a young woman like me with your anointing. Anointing is very confusing. That's what I mean. So if you see a pastor do a bad thing, please still listen to his message next time. It's like a Pharisee. Your personal, now listen, that's for those who are listening to you. As a pastor, try and balance the two. But you watching him, don't be carried away. When he finished preaching, you know, pastors, including me, we preach things we don't practice. I'm not trying to say I do it normally. I'm just telling you that if you see me, if I say love your wife as Christ loved the church, don't just assume my wife is enjoying. Because many men that don't love their wife, they get reason. And me too, maybe I get the same reason. It's true now. See, everybody is looking at you. The point I'm just making is that so, be mindful that he's but flesh. So if he says, love your wife as Christ loves the church, just assume that it's the word of God. Don't assume that his wife is enjoying that love. And he's only allowed to preach the word to you. You know, those days when my wife is counseling women, I will look at her and say, "Why don't you listen to your own counsel?" I said, "This thing you have said now, my sweetheart, is good though. But I wish I would just be enjoying it like this." Because sometimes I hear on the phone, she go to, I said, "Now, wow. Anointing is good though. But this anointing will must make you real." I said, "No, sometimes, sir, you know, you can be so." I said, "You don't think that the person you are counseling, her husband too can be so?" "You don't know the husband can be so. The Lord is good." But what she's doing is the right thing. You are not allowed to give anybody your opinion. You're only allowed to give somebody the word of God. Because that's our standard. We are all walking towards that word. That's just a small digression. I'm just trying to say that. So it's not pastors that have the weight with God. Every child of God can have it. And what I'm teaching today is that it comes from when we start learning self-denial. Yes, as I will move up with God, we'll see it from scriptures. Paul said, if I just do what I've been commanded to do, that's just the basic. I come to a balance. I come to an equilibrium. I have no reward. I don't get carried higher in that glory level. I do not attain to the three. Many people have attained great things. They are numbered amongst the 30. They are amongst David's mighty men. But God will say, no, they have not attained to the 3. And I'm saying to you, Jesus is saying, I need my 3s around me. I hope you're getting my point. And he's calling people every day. How do I elevate them? Each time I show them how to remove little weights. And the weights we are talking about this time around are legitimate things. We are done with iniquity. Do you follow my point? We're not preaching this message to those who are still struggling. Should I watch pornography or no? Will I go to hellfire or not go to hellfire? We have left that one. We are talking about people who say, this is my right, but I'll let it go. People are beginning to swallow foolishness for the sake of Christ. They're the ones we are talking to. And I'm telling everybody generally, this is a call of God, which I'm declaring to us today. Again, Jesus needs sons to rule in this nation for him. You can't be a whiner and a grumbler and you'll be a son. You can't be focused on what shall we eat, what shall we drink, how shall we be promoted. We too must build house, own car, and be a son. Until you are ready to get to the level that Paul got to. And he said, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life as dear unto myself. Did you see those three people? They were the three men of David. Did you see what the Bible told us they did? He said, these things the three did. He said, oh, that somebody will give me to drink from that well that just beside that. Where the garrison of the Philistines was. The three said, our guy wants to drink. Let's go get him water. They took their sword, said, you take a bucket, let's go. I can imagine the way they were going. They were going like this, three, back to back. Just rotating and fighting, back to back. They would dodge here, nobody sees. They break through. Somebody will see them, pam, 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 they fought. Yeah, you fetch the water. When one man is fetching, two people are fighting. Let's go. They get back there, clean their face. No sweat, nothing. Hello, sir. You wanted water. This is water. He said, no, I said I wanted water, that one that had been well in Bethlehem, you know. He said, yes, I will head you. That is the water. No, the one near, no, you have to go past the garrison of the Philistines. He said, yes, sir, that's the water. How did you get it? We went to fetch it. Nothing. Spoiled. Boys, we just went to fetch the water. Sorry, sir. Go ahead, sir, and drink. No, I want to know, how did you get it? Sir, we went to fetch it. I know the attitude of such people. They're not telling you we fought for it. Say, Lord, we went to fetch it. Oh, God, drink, drink. David, look at the boys. You went to fetch it, and they let you pass. Well, it's not like they let us pass, but you know, a man has to do what a man has to do. So we went to fetch it. David got the point. Took the water and poured it away. He was a great man himself. Took the water and poured it away. The point is this. He said, this is the blood of these men. They have gone to fetch this water at the risk of their lives. I can't drink it. The point I'm making is about the three men. They did not do their duty. They went beyond their duty. That was why Jesus said, you want to sit on my left and my right. Can you drink certain strange cups? Are you ready for some serious baptism? Are you ready to carry shame for my name's sake? Are you ready for people to laugh at, to make you look like you are a fool and you are doing what you are doing just because you know it pleases me? Are you ready for that? He said, listen, until you're ready for that, please leave that thing. Go. That's my message today. Who will qualify? Who will make it? Listen, who will make it his or her goal? That's the first thing. It's not even to qualify for it yet. To just know that this is exactly what I want in life. I want to be a son that walks in the glory of the Father. That is what I want in life. Let's bow down our heads and pray. That's my prayer for today. If you can just get that done, ask after the walk. For it to be your prayer point, that I want that glory. All the things that have substituted the glory, first throw them away. You defile those fake idols. Suddenly you are not seeing yourself that you have made it now because somebody gave you a promotion, gave you some extra money, you bought something, No. What do you want in life? Say, I want to handle these things. I want to be like Samuel. I want to be like Daniel. If I get on my knees, God will say, yeah, he has knelt down. What is going on there? God will say, I want him to say what is right because whatever he says, I have to confirm it. That's my Samuel down there. Because that's what I need if I'm going to change the society. That's what I need if I'm going to change the nation. And it's people who can open their mouth and write decrees. Write a new constitution for a nation. Not going down there and saying what we need is restructuring. Every fool has an opinion. Every fool has an opinion. I'm asking for sons who are not just offering opinions, but they will speak with insight, with revelation. I start giving them words of knowledge. I start giving them discerning of spirits. They start understanding that. I say, listen, this is what I wanted to ask for. And they will say, Lord, I want Lazarus to come back. And even though it's against all the laws of nature, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. His body had begun to rot. Yet I had to mobilize spiritual energy to bring Lazarus back to life. Why? My son asked. My son asked. He asked. He asked me for it. That's why. That's all. If you remember Jesus Christ, he looked at Peter. He said, deliverance? Don't you think I could have asked the Father for 12 legions? All he needed to do was ask. Many of us are there fighting, say, we'll pray. As if we have to harass things out of him. No, he's listening out carefully for what his sons will say. Because they are going to utter his will on the earth. And he'll place them in different districts and say, you will be in charge of 10 cities.
Let's continue to pray and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, help me. Let's receive grace again. Of course, we just take these things to God in prayer. Please cry to him and say, Lord, make spiritual things real to me. Let them be real to me. Help me to pursue hard after the things that you will be showing me. Jesus said, I did not come to do my will, but the will of the Father. As I hear him say to me, the things I see, these are the things my heart pants after and I do. He says, the things that I hear my Father say to me, these are the things that I do. Open your mouth, pray this evening. Say, Lord, let spiritual things be real to me. Let them be real to me. Let spiritual things make sense to me. Sometimes some of these things doesn't make sense to us. Say, Lord, let spiritual things be real to me. You know, something has to be real to you. Either material things are real to you or spiritual things are real to you. You just have to focus on one thing. Say, Lord, let spiritual things be real to me. Let my focus be that you are showing me. Please pray. Pray. Let's just take advantage of the grace that is available this evening. In line with the message that we have heard, we can only deny ourselves when the things that God is showing us are real to us. Pray. At that point, suffering becomes nothing. You know, we are ready to let some things go because the Lord has shown us some things. We now understand spiritual. Please pray. Say, Lord, let spiritual things be real to me. Let it be real to me. Let it be real to me. These realms we're talking about, they are real, brother. They are real, sister. Let God just help me to understand how real these things are. How real these things are. That God can actually look upon a man to withhold judgments. God can look upon a man. God can look upon a man to raise a family. God can look upon a man to just show mercy upon a people. Open your mouth and pray. Say, Lord, let these things be real to me. Let it be real to me. Let it be real to me. Now begin to ask for grace. Say, Lord, I receive grace. As you speak to me, as you show me, Lord, I receive grace to do. As you show me, I receive grace to do. I think we need to pray this prayer. Say, Lord, purge me of worldliness. Purge me of worldliness. Purge me of materialism. Purge me of worldliness. You know, every worldly act, worldly thought that is in me, Lord, purge me of worldliness. Please pray.